Coming up on KUCB News, the City Council will vote tonight on a proposed plastic bag ban, and another candidate has joined on Alaska's ballot. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Tuesday, August 14th, 2018. With 3 days to the deadline, Sherry Coleman has added her name to Unalaska's municipal ballot. The city councilor filed yesterday to run for re-election at seat G. Coleman won her seat last fall after ousting Rochelle Hatfield, who was appointed when Frank Hilty vacated the spot to become mayor. Coleman is currently finishing the last year left on that term. If elected again, she'll earn her first full 3-year term on the council. Meanwhile, Alejandro Bongtungle is the only other Unalaskan to declare candidacy for local office. First appointed to the council in 2013, Tungle is now running for re-election at seat F. As of this morning, Deputy City Clerk Roxana Winter says no one has filed for school board seat A, currently held by Tammy Fowler Pound. Prospective candidates must file at City Hall by this Thursday, August 16th. The local election will follow October 2nd. The Unalaska City Council meets tonight. At the regular session, councilors are scheduled to hold their final vote on an ordinance that would ban plastic shopping bags at local stores. If approved, it would go into effect January 1st, with $100 fines for every violation. The proposal has received strong support from council and community members and is expected to pass. Councilors are also slated to discuss their annual lobbying trip to Washington, D.C., and pick a contractor to build the new playground at Town Park. The City Council meets tonight at 6 o'clock at City Hall. You can also listen to the meeting live here on 89.7 FM or on Channel 8 TV. Alaska's largest city is also deciding whether to ban plastic bags. Tonight, the Anchorage Assembly is taking public testimony on a proposal similar to Unalaska's, although in the Anchorage measure, repeat violators could face steeper fines, up to $500. Retailers may also be allowed to charge 10 cents or more for thicker, reusable bags made of plastic or recycled paper. If it passes, the Anchorage ban would go into effect at the beginning of 2019 as well. Across Alaska, there are 17 communities that have already banned single-use plastic bags. Yesterday, we brought you an update on the race for governor, which is shaping up to be a 3-way contest. Today, we look one step down the ballot to bring you more on the race for lieutenant governor. 6 Alaskans are running for the Republican nomination, and as Alaska Public Media's Andrew Kitchenman reports, half are current or former state lawmakers, while the other half are military veterans.
The lieutenant governor has limited duties under the state constitution to succeed the governor if necessary and oversee initiatives and referendums. State laws give the lieutenant governor a few more responsibilities. They include administering elections and serving as guardian of the state seal. Wasilla resident Lynn Gaddis is a former state representative. She says she's most excited about the process of approving initiatives and referendums and communicating to the public what the proposed laws mean.
I think that is so very important that Alaskans understand both sides. And that would be my job as a lieutenant governor to make sure that folks get the real story on both sides.
Gaddis was defeated 2 years ago by David Wilson in a Republican primary to serve in the state Senate. Some of the other candidates pointed to issues other than the lieutenant governor's duty set by law in citing why they're running for office. Edie Grunwald is a Palmer resident and retired Air Force colonel.
We have a resource wealthy state. We have historic unemployment right now. And we're one of 2 states in recession, and crime is skyrocketing. Over the last several years, what Alaskans have suffered through you know, under our leadership right now, it's just unacceptable.
Grunwald has been particularly vocal in calling for the repeal of the criminal justice overhaul passed in 2016. Her 16-year-old son, David Grunwald, was murdered that year. Sharon Jackson has also served in the military, and her position with the U.S. Army brought her to Alaska. She has also worked for the National Federation of Independent Business and in constituent relations for U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan. She says her energy and determination will serve Alaskans. She also has ideas about how to administer elections.
We need to clean up the voter registration list. We need to make sure that everyone on the list are here living in Alaska and living.
Jackson says she received a ballot at her home in the Anchorage municipal election for someone who moved away 15 years ago and died 5 years ago. Three more candidates to go. Anchorage State Senator Kevin Meyer has been a legislator for nearly 18 years. He says he'd be able to help the governor improve on what he sees as an unproductive relationship between the current administration and the legislature. Meyer also works as an investment recovery coordinator for ConocoPhillips.
I think that's where I can be a real asset to whoever's running for governor is having the years of experience that I have, both in elected office and in the legislature and in the private sector as well, to help the governor sell his ideas to the legislature and ultimately to the public.
Kodiak State Senator Gary Stevens was the only candidate who said his main reason for running was to focus on administering elections.
One of the things, a few things the Lieutenant Governor is absolutely responsible for is the elections issue. And we're facing some serious problems. We have equipment that's aging. And the most important thing, I think, for the voters is to make sure that their vote counts.
Stevens hasn't been actively campaigning and says that voters who know his record will either vote for him or choose someone else. The sixth candidate is Wasilla resident Stephen Wright, who served in the Air Force. He's emphasized restoring the full permanent fund dividend under the formula used before 2016. He didn't respond to requests for an interview this week. The only other lieutenant governor candidate on the primary ballot is Democrat Deborah Call, who's running unopposed. Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott is also a Democrat, but he's filed to be on the general election ballot on a ticket with independent governor Bill Walker. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Absentee voting is underway for the state's primary election. It'll decide who appears on the final ballot for governor, lieutenant governor, and U.S. representative, as well as a slew of positions in the state legislature. Unalaskans have until Monday, August 20th, to cast absentee ballots at City Hall. Regular primary voting is set for next Tuesday, the 21st, with the general election to follow in November. Over the weekend, elders, scholars, and artists gathered in Quinnahock to celebrate the opening of the Nunatlik Culture and Archaeology Center, and one former Unalaskan was in attendance as well. KYUK's Teresa Katsourilis has more.
Quinnahock's new museum and repository is home to 60,000 artifacts, the largest collection of Yupik artifacts in the world. Its opening on Saturday was the culmination of 9 years of backbreaking work and a unique partnership between Quinnahock's Village Corporation and archaeologists.
It's almost broke down.
Warren Jones is the Kinnear-Tuck Corporation CEO. The opening was emotional for him and for many of the other residents who attended. Quinnahock elders had always known about the ancient village near their community, and the village chose to begin excavating it after much discussion in the late 2000s. The Kinnear-Tuck Corporation owns all of the artifacts that archaeologists have found here, and Jones says they've chosen to keep every single one of them in Quinnahock.
It's our culture. It's priceless to us, and they will be here with us forever. Even when I'm gone, when we're gone, they'll be in the village, and our younger future generations can come anytime, look at them, study them, and never forget where they came from.
At the museum's opening, Quinnahock children huddled with world-renowned mask makers around the collection's ancient dolls and ulochs. According to University of Aberdeen archaeologist Rick Connect, the dig's summer volunteers find hundreds of artifacts a day. Connect says he's gotten very little sleep in the past few days, and that the museum's opening didn't quite feel real.
I think that's really probably the highlight of my professional career, actually, what just happened. And I think Warren's too. And we looked at each other and shook hands because we'd done it.
The Nunavut Culture and Archaeology Center doesn't have a curator yet, but it is taking some visitors. If you're interested in flying to Quinnahock and seeing the collection, please contact Warren Jones at 907-556-8713. In Bethel, I'm Teresa Kotsarillas.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.